You got me, Jesse? Yeah. Good to be back in the Lord's house this evening. Good to see this good number out tonight. Don't forget, we've not been announcing, but 2 weeks from tomorrow night, be April the 11th, the children will be singing at Yellow Hill Baptist Church. Brother Chris will be in a revival up there. And let's pray for Brother Chris and also pray for the youth choir that they'll be a blessing to those folks. And then on that Friday night, April the 12th, the adult choir will be at Solid Rock Baptist Church down in Yadkinville. We've not been announcing those things. But anyway, if you would like barbecue, I got an announcement here. The Healing Hearts has that fundraiser for the barbecue. It'll be Friday starting at 11 a.m. until they're sold out. And you can eat in or take out. They sell it by the plate or by the pound. If you order more than five, and I know some of you probably, you know, maybe buying in a work pool or whatever. If you order more than five plates, they'll be happy to bring it to you. So just keep that in mind. That's this Friday, March 29th, starting at 11 o'clock. If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn to the book of Genesis tonight with the Lord's might. Let me ask you a question before you start looking for your places. How many of you in here have come, let me find my note right here, because I've had the note when I preached, not the message, I don't say I preached the same message, but I used these same scriptures and everything. How many of you come since May the 2nd of 2010 and may not have heard the message concerning the rainbow? Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Several of you have been around here that's not heard the rainbow message. Maybe that's why God put it upon my heart again. I opened up with the prayer room tonight with some things back there that kind of played into the thoughts of the rainbow message. But while you're finding your place in Genesis chapter number 9, I want to read a few things, a few passages of Scripture, and you just listen along with me. I want you to see how many times the Bible says the word signs and wonders. And I want you to think about signs and wonders, because the Bible tells us, and I use this in the open of our men's prayer room tonight, over in the book of Matthew tonight, it said that this faithless and perverse generation and this generation of adulterous people would always be seeking a sign, and that they would not have one. They've got the old prophets. They've got the old book. They've got those old signs. They've got everything that they need to believe in Jesus Christ. My friends, you can look around the world today and see the very firmament of heaven. You wake up some morning, I see your post, Miss Melissa, and I see some of your posts. Miss Vicki Miller loves flowers, and she posts those flowers. And some of you just don't post pictures of anything but maybe your grandbabies or whatever. I don't care if you're looking at a beautiful rose petal, if you're looking at a mountain sunrise or a mountain sunset, or you're looking in the face of a newborn baby, but it's God, you ought to be able to see the hand of God. And I don't care what you're looking at, you ought to know that there is a God in heaven. There is absolutely no way that all this stuff just come together by a cataclysmic boom, and then everything is all laid out before us. But the Bible says in the latter day that people would be looking for a sign. They're looking for something to hang on to. They're looking for something to point them in the right direction. Well, Brother Gwen preached here on Sunday morning about faith. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take faith. It'll take an eye of faith for you to understand just how big God is. And even then, with an eye of faith, Brother Steve, I think we're still going to come short. I think as magnanimous as God is, as awesome as He is, the Bible uses the word that He is a terrible God. And that means all-inspiring. Brother John, He is terrible. He is awesome. And I don't think we could ever scratch the surface of just how mighty and how magnificent our God really is. I don't think that there's any way. We still got thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of species in the world today that people have never named. They've never found that genome. They've never found that genus or that species. And they're in the depths of the deepest parts of the ocean. And they're in the outbacks of the places, Brother John, that man has never ventured yet. And it's hard to believe that men have still not been everywhere yet the way we are. But there are still places, Brother John, that they've not been yet. And bless God, they're still missionary trying to get the gospel to some of them native people. There was just in the news within the last several months, there was a boy that went to a cannibalistic tribe, and he knew, knowing that he was going to die, they said, "You will get killed if you go there." Brother John, he went there to tell them about Jesus. He got killed. As soon as he come up on the beach, they killed him. And if you'll remember, they've been trying to get the boy's body back for all these months. It's still in the news once in a while. But listen at what the Bible says about the signs and wonders. In Exodus, don't have to turn there, just listen. Exodus 7 and 3, the Bible said, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt, Deuteronomy 4 and 34 says, "O God has assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of nations by temptations, by signs, and by wonders." Deuteronomy 6:22 says, "And the Lord showed many signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt." And I could go on and on and on and on and on. Psalms, it said, "He hath wrought many signs in Egypt and his wonders in the fields of Zion." It said in Psalm 105:27, "He showed them signs among the people and wonders of the land of Ham." In Isaiah 8:18, he said, "I and the children whom the Lord hath given me for signs and wonders of Israel." And like I said, I could go all the way through there talking about countless times that he talks about many signs and many wonders. My friends, today, the only continual sign is that of the rainbow. That's the only one you can see with a naked eye. You do not see a talking donkey of Balaam anymore. Amen? I've never seen a talking donkey. Now, I drive out Country Club Road, and Dr. Peterson's got some. He did have 7. And when I come through there yesterday, there was 8. There's a little bitty one out there now. But you know what, Brother Derek? I could park my truck on the side of the road and walk over there to the fence and start talking to them things. And I'm pretty sure they're going to stand there and look at me just about the way I'm looking at them. Kind of like, you know, just here I am. Well, never mind. And anyway, there's no more talking donkeys. Moses, Brother John, what was he led when he was leading the children of out of bondage? He watched a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. If you see a pillar of fire by day, somebody dial 911 and Jake will come and Brother Kippy will come and they'll put the thing out. I do not see too many people today talking to a burning bush. If you're talking to a burning bush, your bush, I guarantee you, will be consumed. The bush that Moses spoke to was the voice of God, and God was in the midst of that burning bush, and the bush was not consumed, but bless God, he spoke to that bush. There are no more burning bushes. There's no more meal in a barrel that never runs dry. That was a wonder to me. How come every time that little widow woman, I went there, Brother Derek, to get just a little bit more meal, but why? Because she's going to bake the last cake of bread, and I and my son are going to die. In other words, that's the last of the meal. But every time, that's a wonder to me. Every time she stuck her hand down in there, guess what? There was meal in that barrel. Those are signs and wonders that were evident in the scriptures. And I don't know of anybody that can take a jawbone on an ass and slew 5,000 people or 500 people or one person. I don't see that. But that was a wonder to me, how somebody could take the jawbone of an ass and go do that. I don't see many people, Brother Kenny, in battle that's tying the fox's tails together and sending them through the cornfield. I don't see that. That's crazy stuff. Let me tell you, there's many signs and wonders in the Bible, but there's only one that the Bible said that with our natural eye we could see, and that was the rainbow, and it would be there perpetually. The Bible says that. The word perpetual is in the King James Bible, and we'll read it here in just a little bit. But there is another sign that you cannot see that's always there, and that is a sign of the cross. You say, "I can see it. It's in that foyer out there. It's in my ears because I wear cross earrings." I'm not talking about that cross. I'm talking about the cross of Christ. Let's stand all over the house of God tonight and give reverence to reading of God's word. Let me just tell you what science says, and I won't be exact because I didn't pin it all up and pin it all down. I didn't bring the same notes from the last message. Brother Derek, they don't never preach the same way anyway. But scientists say that the only reason that there's a rainbow in the sky, and a rainbow as we see it is only a half arch, but the rainbow is really a full circle. But because of the curvature of the earth, and you may have some of the Flat Earth Society here tonight, we've had them here before, let me tell you, the world is round. Okay, it's round. You flat earthers, go ahead and get with me after. There might be some here. There's been some here before, and I got called out on it. When you get too close to the edge, be careful. Okay? Now, the Bible said to him that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and I believe what the Bible says, and that's in the book of Isaiah, but the scientist says that is that raindrops form, and that whenever those raindrops form, there is a refraction of light at the 42nd degree. And the 42nd degree of the 42nd parallel degree of the sun shining through that raindrop, that those drops of water in the cumulus cloud or the cumulonimbus, whatever you want to call it. Brother Brother John, you know what that does? It creates a rainbow. It's the refraction of light about the 42nd of the 46th angle or degree that shines through that, and it creates a rainbow. Listen, I don't need to know all that. I don't need to know at the proper angle or the proper light. The only thing I know, Brother John, there was a disturbance. And that disturbance in heaven sent rain. And because of the rain was there, the sun did shine. And wherever the sun did shine again, let me tell you, you may be in darkness, you may have had a disturbance. Let me tell you, your sun will shine again. And when God shines through the darkness again and shines through your calamity again, bless God, just look for the promise because it's in there somewhere. So the only thing I need to know is I know God put it there. I don't need to know all the ins and outs, ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I will tell you this. The colors never change their places. They're always the same. Y'all ever heard of Roy G. Biv? Y'all know Roy G. Biv? Do the Roy G. Biv on your knuckles. That's what everybody has. Red, orange, yellow, green, indigo, blue, and violet. Brother Derek, you got my rainbow colors out. What is it? There you go. He just gave them to you. The seven colors of the rainbow. Is that kind of strange to you that there's seven? I believe seven's a good number. Were there not seven churches in Asia Minor? Were not 7 days in a week? Is seven not a number of completion or perfection in the eyes of God? Then I believe seven will work. That's why they always remain the same. And it should be of no surprise, I guess. It should be of no consternation of your heart or mind, since we're Christians, we believe that God put it there and their colors always stay the same, but should not make you any alarm or cause you any misunderstanding to understand why Satan tried to commandeer it. It's the only one left. You said, wherein did Satan try to commandeer it? What is the symbol for the GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, the LGBTQ? They use the rainbow. Why? Because they wanted to take the only continuing sign that was perpetually there by God Almighty, and they wanted to make that theirs. Why? Because that's what Satan does. He always tries to mimic or copy or ape out what God has done. Let me tell you, God is the victor. And I'll show you that in the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation before I sit down tonight. I promise you that. So as we look into the book of Genesis this afternoon, the Bible says that there was a flood. Y'all know that big story. It's one of the greater stories in the Bible. It takes up a portion of the book of Genesis about how that men's hearts were only evil continually, and they were wicked in their thoughts, their deeds, their imagination. Everything that they did, Brother John, just took them down a path of debauchery and wrong and ill, and everything was just, it was really base and low, brother. Their thoughts were evil. And God said, I'm going to destroy it all. He repented. God repented that he ever made man. It broke his heart, but he found grace in the eyes of a man by the name of Noah. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then God told him, Noah, it's going to rain. You know the story. The great flood of water is going to come down from up high. It's going to rain for 40 days, 40 nights. Not only that, the earth beneath is going to bust up. The fountains are coming up from beneath. The rain's coming down from above. And I'm going to destroy this place. So for 150 years, this old man by the name of Noah, he's a hewing timbers and a cutting logs and a preaching the gospel to get only 8 souls on the boat, but all the animals lined up 2 by 2. The clean ones, he took more. But bless God, to replenish the earth, he took of each kind. He didn't take 2 chihuahuas, 2 Dobermans and 2 German Shepherds and 2 Beagles. Bless God, he took 2 canine and he took 2 bovine. He took 2 equine, and that's the way these things, God, he took 2 of each kind. So don't think that he had to have 2 of everything on there. He took 2 of a kind, and that's where you get the animals that we see today. But anyway, the waters are dried up. Noah has released the raven, and the raven feeds on flesh. So what did it do? It goes out there after the flesh. But then he releases the dove, and the dove comes back with an olive branch in his mouth and said, we found land. So here we are in the 9th chapter, and God is going to give a perpetual covenant, a token of a covenant. What is a token? A token is an outward sign. What is a covenant? We got a church covenant. It is an agreement. And what is that token of a covenant between God and man that was demonstrated in the clouds by a bow? Brother Kenny, I'm not going to destroy her by water again. Hit a lick on this on Sunday. This may be why God started stirring my heart around with it so much. Let me tell you, my friends, judgment is swift. Judgment is righteous. And judgment is sure. It is surely coming to every one of us. Anyway, I'm going to preach a whole message while you're standing. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 9, Verse number 8, he says these words, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you." Here's the word perpetual. For perpetual generations. Do you know what the word perpetual means? I know some of you say, "Preacher, don't use big words." That's in the Bible. It's in your King James Bible. Do you know what perpetual means? Continuing, eternal, always, forever. It's perpetual. Meaning that it goes on and on and on. That one's not going to cease. Now, he did say that those sign gifts in the Bible, the gifts of the tongues and some of the other gifts, they would cease. They were for the unbelieving Jews, and those signs have since ceased. But this one remains because it is a perpetual covenant. He said, "I do set my bow," in verse 13, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." That's the 42nd degree of the angle of the sun shining through the rain droplets, shining through that cloud. Thus we see the rainbow. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Brother Amos Combs, so good to have you with us tonight, my friend. I hate that you've been sick, but I'm glad that you're back. Would you bless us in prayer, my friend? And as you're being seated tonight, if we were to title this message tonight, it'll simply be "Taking Back the Rainbow." Let me tell you, anything that Satan has taken from us in this latter day, we ought to be wanting to get it back. I bless God, if he's took the intimacy of your marriage, you ought to be wanting that intimacy back. If he's took something from you, such as a good godly child, he's took that child out there into the fringes of hell, Brother John, and got them out there trying the things of this world that they shouldn't be trying. Brother, you ought to be wanting that child back to where God can bless them and use them. I don't care what God has had to yield over to us. I bless God. God give it up in his power. Let me tell you, anything Satan's got, God given the authority to do it. I don't think the devil's got more power than God. But my friend, if you'll let your guard down, he'll come in and take from you. Hey, he'll rob you. He'll steal you. He'll browbeat you with the very things that he knows was your weakness. The Bible said the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he will do just that. But what happened is this worldly crowd has commandeered or took away from us the rainbow. They have used that as a symbol of their gay pride. They have used that as a symbol to say that, hey, we are united. And anytime you get somebody, what are they originally? They're a little bit abnormal. And what they stand off in the outskirts and in the fringe. They're different, Brother John. But what happened is they start coming together. They get a few sympathizers. And then they get a few people, Brother Derek, to go along with them. And then they go from the sympathizing, then they go to promotion. And once they start going to promotion, they've got to have some kind of organization. And once they start organizing, they need a symbol. Well, that's what they did, Brother Kenny. Whenever they come together with their baser things, it's an abomination in the eyes of God. You know it is. I know it is. They know it is. The Bible says it is. But what they've done, they've come together. It used to be in my childhood day, Brother John, we had a couple homosexuals that lived in and around the community, but it was a shame and it was a disgrace. Brother John, you see them at the store that hang their head down and go down a back aisle. Why? Because they had chosen. You said, no, they were born that way. No, they chose that lifestyle. And because they chose that, why would they hang their head? Because they were under conviction, because you were a child of God, or you were a preacher, you were a Sunday school teacher. But then they no longer stay in the closet. They now come outside into the mainstream, into the forefront. And everything's changing. And if you don't believe things are changing, you look back just a few years ago, whenever Macy was born, it was Bill Clinton that was the president. And Bill Clinton, if you'll remember, it was found out that he smoked a little marijuana. But what happened, Brother John? He tried to write that off and say, I did try marijuana. But what was his famous words? I didn't inhale. But right now, in the latter year, bless God, on the 2020 platform, you've got a whole bunch of them, about 20 or 50 of them that's running for president. And every one of them are running on legalizing the junk. Now, just a few years ago, Brother John, it was terrible. He tried to smoke pot. Yeah, but I didn't inhale. How did we go from somebody that should have been ashamed of doing that in their college days to now trying to legalize the junk? And that's the way it comes out of the closet. And that's the way every sin does. And then it gets its sympathizers. And then they not only get sympathizers, they get together, but they got to have some kind of a sign. And what they do, they chose the rainbow for theirs. Let me tell you, it's time we take back the rainbow. Amen. When you see one, if it's on somebody's t-shirt, if it don't say Calvary Baptist Church, and it don't say something about I'm standing under the rainbow of God's promise, maybe from Genesis chapter 9, verse number 13, 12, 13, 14, bless God, if it says LGBTQ, bless God, you were to say, bless God, that rainbow reminds me of God's judgment. You can bring that up. It's on their shirt. Bring it into your conversation and say, what's that mean? Bless God, are you saved by God's grace, you got the rainbow on. Man, ain't that good? God judged this thing once because of sin. He's going to judge her again because of sin. And bless God, you got that rainbow on. Tell him the whole world next time as by fire. He's going to judge this thing. Thank you for promoting the gospel. They'll quickly say, I'm not promoting the gospel. What are you talking about? Say, well, the Bible says. You don't have to say in my humble opinion what you're doing is wrong. Don't you say in my humble opinion, you know what, Brother John? You'll walk away with a loose tooth and a black eye. Say, God's word says, that bless God, that he destroyed this thing with water because of sin. But bless God, he put that perpetual bow in the sky. And bless God, she's never changed. She's still there today, still shining bright, showing that God, he judged her before and he's going to judge it again. Time we take it back. Take back what Satan's stolen. Amen, Mary Doris, wherever you're at. The rainbow's never changing their positions. As Brother Derek said, Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, violet. I might have missed one. Yellow. What? Green. Leave me alone. Anybody thinks this is easy? Here's my glasses, here's my handkerchief, and there's my Bible. Many of you that I've ever preached just before knows the position of the rainbow. And we're standing here and you've heard me talk about the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. Have you not heard me talk about that? Is that not right too? Is there not a firmament right above us and just right there? That's the first. And there's not one right beyond that, the second, and then where God's at. Brother John, somewhere beyond the grave there is a place. It's a heavenly home. We seek for one down here, Brother Derek, kind of like the old patriarchs did, but they found no continuing city down here, but they sought for one whose builder and maker is God. Amen. I'm still looking for that same city. I've not got there yet, Brother Archie. Let's take back the rainbow. So suffice it to say, if we're sitting down here looking at the rainbow, Jerry and Martha, I tried my best to get y'all. You drive with such tunnel vision. I was behind y'all one night. Miss Martha, you remember that? I was taking pictures of that thing blowing my horn like the wreck trying to get y'all to look up. Jerry had one thing on his mind, a chili cheese coney. Couldn't get his attention for nothing. If you get between Jerry and food, it's a bad day. But there was a rainbow in the end of that bow stopped right over their house. And I kept driving, and it was over their car. It was like when I positioned, that thing followed them, and everywhere y'all went. So at the end of the service, I need to hold 20, it'll payday. The colors of that rainbow do not change position. Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, green, indigo, blue, violet. Shut up. So when we're standing down here looking up at the rainbow, and I give you the significance of the colors of the rainbow, we see it different than God. See, God's looking down, we're looking up. So we look up through the rainbow, and if we see the first color of the rainbow, what's the bottom color, Brother Derek? I'm going to come to you each time because you're the only one here's right. What's the first color of the rainbow? The bottom. The violet, which is a color of what? Purple, which is significant, meaning what? Royalty. Now, Whenever the thief was beside of our Savior on the cross, did he not recognize him as being royalty? Whenever he looks at the other thief and said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Brother John, what does he look at? I mean, Christ has got a placard above his head. It's written in Latin and in Greek and also in Hebrew. And what did the sign say? He said, the King of the Jews. Is that not right? And he looks at Jesus and he says these words. He says, Lord. What is that? He acknowledges his lordship. He acknowledges his very royalty and the very deity of humanity hangs on this man by the name of Jesus. And he saw them. And bless God, if we look up through the rainbow and we see that purple band or that violet band of the rainbow, that's where it's a good place to start. You ought to recognize him for who he is, not for what he does. Bless God, me and you're both eating pretty good. But bless God, we ought not praise him for what he does for us. And he feeds us well. He clothes us well. And bless God, we got every finery of God all around us, Brother John. But we ought to stop praising him for what he does for us and start praising him for who he is. We ought to see him as royalty. And when we see him that way, the first color on the band of that rainbow being purple, it ought to scream out that he is royalty. Amen. It ought to. Rather than saying gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, whatever. They go off. I think they add a new letter to that thing every year. Used to be glad. And now it's LGBT. Then it was LGBTQ. I don't know what they're going to add on there next time. But the first color on the band of the rainbow is purple or violet. The next one, Brother Derek, is what? Indigo. Look beyond the royalty to find the peace. Where's above indigo? Keep going. We're going to be here. We're going to be here all night. I got to go. What's above that? Blue. Where is the blue? What color is his shirt? Where's Paul Jones at? I know he knows the color blue. It ain't. Where's Danny? Did Danny have to leave? It's not Duke. It's not Duke blue. Sorry, back here on the back pew. It's Carolina blue. That's the place where the planes fly. That's the place where the sky's at. Yeah, I mean, you turn on your radio and they're going to say, we're under some beautiful Carolina blue skies today. I've never turned on my radio 98.1 out of Galax, WBRF, and heard somebody, well, we're under some good blue skies today. They don't call them dookie blue skies. You don't want to be under a dookie blue. That could get really mean and nasty to you. They say we're under the Carolina blue skies. Bless God, you're not going to get to where God's at except that you go through that outer shell of this firmament, which is that blue of the heaven. Bless God, you're not getting to the second heaven. You're not getting beyond the third heaven except that you first see Jesus Christ for who he is as the royalty. You got to go. You want the peace of God in that indigo band. You want to get beyond that next. And what's next, Brother Derek? Keep going quickly. Green. Where are we going? And how long are we going to be there? What's green? What's your coat? Do we not know what green is? Do you put down a brown tree at Christmas? You put down an everbrown. You bring in the everbrowns of the forest and put them in your house. No, what do you bring in? You bring in an evergreen. Why? Because they're evergreen. We got evergreens for a reason. Green is always green on the evergreen trees. That stands for the eternal presence of Almighty God. You go to the book of Revelation. I told you we get there just a short time from now. In chapter number 4 and verse number 3, the Bible said, and after this, I, John, saw the holy city, the 24 elders bowing down before God. And he said he saw something. He saw somebody sitting upon the throne. And what was around that throne? He saw a bow, and that rainbow was not multicolored. It did not transpire and transpire place to places of the red, orange, yellow, green, indigo, blue, and violet. No, it was only green. It was only emerald around the throne. Am I right, preacher? It was only emerald. Why? Because when we get there, we're not going to see anything. We're just going to be in his eternal presence. We don't have to worry about the homosexual agenda. We don't have to worry about anybody trying to steal our thunder. We don't have to anybody trying to steal our the perpetual signs of God's grace. We don't have to worry about that, Brother Derek, because when we get there, all them other former things are just swallowed up. They ain't even a memory anymore. Then we go on beyond the green. Y'all missed the yellow. Yellow being light. He is the light of the world. No man can light a candle, hide it under a bushel. We missed the yellow, but yellow is the band of light. He is the light of the world. While he was here, he said, I'm the light of the world. Well, he said, I'm going to go away. Now you're the light of the world. Brother, if you don't go through that light, be drawn by that. You say, well, I don't like light. Well, the Bible addressed that too. The Bible said men would love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They don't like the light. Light exposes them. Light points their problems out. You get real close to the light, you start to see all the blemishes in your makeup. You start to see all the character flaws. You start to see everything. And that's what the light of the gospel will do. The closer you get to the gospel, the more you're going to find out that he's everything and you're nothing. You're going to see all of your problems. Your sins are going to be exposed. That's why people don't like to come to the light. But if you're going to get there, you've got to go right through that light. Yellow, then green. Where am I at? Keep going up the ladder. Orange. What's orange? What's orange? Somebody said it. Warning. Did they put out pink signs on the side of the road? Anybody work the state crew? I got some. Robbie, you still work for the state? Don't you be shaking your head. You work for the state. You put out those pink signs, don't you? Y'all put out what color signs? Orange. You put out pink cones on the interstate when the bridge is out? No, you don't put out pink cones on the... I don't care where you're at, brother. If you're ever on the German Autobahn, you're in Alaska, you're down in South Carolina, or down in Georgia, if you go down the road running 80 miles an hour and you start seeing orange barrels, orange signs, orange flags, orange vested men standing there with a sign, bless God, you ought to start paying attention. Bless God, this world needs to start paying attention. There was an orange band in that rainbow as a universal warning sign that heaven's a long time, and heaven's a long time. And heaven's a long time. And bless God, we get to be there with our Savior. But hell is just as long. Did you hear me, brother? There, hell is just as eternal. And if God can make a body like it unto his, that can live eternal with him, apart from all sin and sickness and suffering and sorrow and heartache, if he can make a body that can live there with him, Brother Kenny, in heaven, he can sure make a body that'll be that way in hell. People say, though, so, preacher, when the fire burns out and the fuel goes out, the fuel burns up, the fire goes out. Bless God, if he can make a body that'll live forever with him, he can make one that'll withstand the eternal punishment and the damnation of a place called hell. And he has done that. He will do that. You ought to wake up. If you see the orange band of the rainbow, let that be a universal band of warning. Don't have to go that way, Brother Charles. You don't have to continue sinning. Amen. You don't have to. There's a remedy. There's a way out. That way out is namely Jesus Christ. My favorite part of the band of the rainbow. The next band, Brother John, is red. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Red. Brother Kenny, what's the red? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is where this thing gets so beautiful to me. I've loved this since the first time God ever showed it to me. We can't get to where he's at except we go through the blood. You can't. Whenever I buy my wife flowers, I've had to do that a few times in 30 years, I buy the red ones. Why do you buy the red ones, preacher? Because red also means love. That's a symbol of love. You say, well, my wife likes pink ones. Buy her pink ones if that's what she likes. But red is generally the symbol of love. I don't usually send my wife little blue hearts on the emojis. It's a little round head blowing a red kiss. If you send emojis, y'all know what I'm talking about. Right? Y'all ever seen one showing out green kisses? Why? I send her one once in a while like this, and it's got that green stuff, but it's not the same one. You say, what's the significance? You can't get where God is except that you go through the red, except that you go through the blood. You say, well, preacher, you're going to preach a whole message on the rainbow and the colors of the rainbow. I got a lot more preaching to do yet. You said, oh, great. Brother Chris, when we look up through that rainbow, the rainbow never changes its colors. Now, you're a fairly intelligent man. if we're looking up through it that way and we see the yellow, the all the different colors of the rainbow, where's God at? God's beyond the rainbow. So what color is God seeing whenever he looks down? Would he not then see it in reverse order? What's the first color God's going to see?
The red.
Wait.
The red.
The red. Chris, what's your IQ, son? 190?
It must be.
Chris said his IQ must be 190. And Katie's is probably right with him.
Amen.
Do y'all get what I'm going at here? Brother Kippy, whenever we look up, we've got to see him as royalty. We've got to see him as the light that exposed our sin, that caused us to realize that we're sinners, we need a Savior. And whenever we see that, there's a stern warning going out. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, sinner, come. Sinner, come. Why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Not tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Brother John, that warning's screaming out every time the altar call's given, every time the piano strikes a chord, and it says, why don't you come now? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Try me, put me to the test, see if I won't help you.
Amen.
We got to see him in these same manners and same fashions. But when he looks down, and the thief that took our rainbow, the one we're preaching about tonight, going to take it back. Brother Kenny, Brother Chris just squared that thing up. When God looks from his lofty place, when God looks from where he's at, Brother John, and Satan comes accusing and said, look at this little boy. At 25 years old, he said that you saved him, but I want you to see how he's living now. Look at that preacher who's preaching tonight that says he got saved at the tender age of 13. Or this preacher, or that man, or that woman. Look at them. And Satan comes with that accusing finger, and he's pointing his finger at you and at me and saying, look at Steve Mahaffey. God, he's one of yours. Look at Cindy. Look at this one. Look at that preacher, Kenny. He preached the gospel all these years. Look what he's thinking about today. Look what he's doing today. And you know, Brother John, God from his lofty position is looking down from his position of the rainbow, and he says, I only see the red. I only see the blood. I don't see anything beyond that. That's all that I see. I just see the blood. And if he just sees the blood, bless God, that's good enough for me, because that means that he's not going to remember that against me anymore.
Amen.
He's not going to hold it against you, Brother Steve. He can go right back to Satan and he can say, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore.
Amen.
Brother John, that ought to make you happy.
Yes, amen. Amen.
There's a sea of forgetfulness. It's in the book. Is that not what he said? How far is the east from the west? They never touch. Because if you're always going, you're always going. Brother John, they'll never meet each other. Why? You said, well, if they go all around, I mean, now they're still going and going and going. How far are your sins removed from you, Brother John? That's how far as the east is from the west. They're gone, not to be brought up against you anymore. So if Satan comes browbeating you and saying, look at you, who do you think you are? Take him back to the cross. Brother, you said you got saved, what, right over yonder? You took me about right over there, about that second step. You ought to take that old buzzard, that slew foot, the subtle beast that he is. You ought to take him back to that place once in a while. Rub his face in grace. He can't get saved, but he's a created being, but you ought to take him back. Brother Kenny, you get saved up here somewhere. Brother Tim was right over here. Right here? You mean there's enough grace after Tim got saved for you as well? Ain't that some plenty more to come? My goodness, what a Savior. I'm telling you what, I had a little bit of an alliteration, but it's pure gone. I told you opening up that the rainbow is never visible except there be a disturbance in the heavens. There has to be a stirring. Has to be. You don't go out in the middle of July or August sun with no clouds in the sky and look up and see one. They're just not there. Neither will you see one in your life. This is where I'm going. Just hang on. Neither will you see one in your life when everything's all sunshine and roses. You don't look for the why. You don't think about the promises of God on that day. They're just there. You're basking in His glory. You're basking in His sunshine. You're basking in His love. Everything's perfect. Man, there ain't no disturbances. There's nothing going on. Everything's perfect. Then along comes a test. Then along comes a stirring. Along comes a job failure. Along comes the wayward child. Along comes a miscarriage. Along comes a cancer report. Along comes a church hurt. Along comes a this and along comes a that. Brother, you went through a little bit of a storm a while back. Now, I promise you, we prayed for y'all. But you come to me not long ago and said, "Preacher, we've heard from heaven." That's what Brother Chris said. "We've heard from heaven." I said, "What in the world? You heard from heaven?" He said, "Yeah, we got some new caretakers, preacher." I'm telling you. The storm wasn't there. The disturbance wasn't there. Everything was good. Everything was perfect. Everything was fine. And then all of a sudden there was a stirring. There had to be a disturbance before you would see the bow. And when the disturbance come, Brother Derek, and you saw the bow, you should immediately remember God's promise. Why? Because it's a token of a covenant. It's an agreement that God said, "I'm not going to destroy this place anymore by water, so as by fire next time." But what that thing is, Brother John, he said, it's always a perpetual promise. It's a promise. If you can take him at that one promise, then should you not then suffice it to say you can trust him with all promises? If he's got one promise, is he not going to hold all promises? If he's no respecter of person, if he showed it unto Noah, would he not show it unto you? Would he not give it unto me? Would he not help us out with our promise? Sure he would. But you're not going to see a promise. And you're not going to see a token of a covenant. You're not going to see that rainbow on the sunny days. We like the sunny days. Oh, we like the sunny days, Brother John. We like the lushness of the valley. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, shadow of death. And where's he at? He said he'd lead me beside some still waters. I like it in the green clover, in the green fields. I like those days. I like it when the sun shines and the skies are Carolina blue. Miss Annette, I like it when everything's all perfect. But it's going to take a disturbance in the heavens for us to see the sun shining through. It's going to have to happen. And I promise you it will happen, yay. All you that live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer some things. Persecutions among other things. But it's only after this disturbance that the sun shines through. It's only when the S-O-N starts shining through your problems that you then start to see the promises. Do you realize where we're going right now, Brother John? I'm going to heaven. I said we. Are you going?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Then where we're going, there's no more darkness.
Amen.
I remember my wife, and hope she don't mind me telling this. She said, "You're going to tell it anyway." Amen. I'm going to. We lived in South Dakota for a while. You remember that? About 3 years. And different weather. Everything different in the Dakotas. Everything. We come home, and she made a statement. She said, "You know what?" She said, "I'd love to see a good storm." We didn't have storms there like you have storms here. You just didn't. I saw hailstones big as a softball. I never seen them here. I saw snow drifts over the top of the, well, you could go up to the top of the house by going up the drift. Befriend David Carver, look on some of his Facebook posts. Over Cindy's head, the drifts were over her head. And we would just, Brother John, take a snow shovel, dig out, and made an igloo without even packing the first cube. Just dig it out and make you an igloo. She said, "I like to see a good storm." When she said that, it wasn't just a little bit. The dark clouds started lowering. The wind started getting boisterous and blowing. I think it was one of the worst storms we'd ever had around our neck of the woods, and thunder and lightning. And she said, "I've never wanted to see a storm like that again." But I don't know why she said she'd just like to see it. But you know, when you see a storm of that magnitude, it reminds you of the power of God. And how many times have you seen the power of God in your own life? Brother Dean, not to hurt you, but you've had a hard little while. Lost your wife, lost your daughter, raising grandchildren. Miss Sterling, I look at you, honey. Buried 3 sons, buried your dear husband. You've had some storms, but I hope and pray, honey, you can see the bow.
Amen.
I hope you can still see the promise in all of this. I hope that whenever you look into that and you see that perfect picture of God's grace, you got the promise of seeing Brother Hobart again. We've got promises throughout this book. And I'm not going to be just a little bit longer. I want you to see, though, that Satan's trying to take that stuff away from us. I want to take it back.
Amen.
Satan's trying to take everything that God had and made and turn it into something to his advantage. Just always remember it. Let's go over to the book of the Revelation just a minute. I did want to hit that just a second. I've already quoted it, but I want to hit it again just a little bit. I said verse number 3. It is verse number 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. Emerald being green. When I see that, Brother John, the warnings are over with. The light, he is the light of that place. The Bible said neither sun nor moon there. Why? Because he's the light of the place. So everything points to the reason that there's only a one color rainbow, Brother Derek. It's only eternal. It's only eternity. It's evergreen. And that's where we get to be with him, the light of the city. Brother John, all that other stuff, the universal band of warning and the peace and the indigo and the violet, the royal, it's all swallowed up namely in him as he sits upon the throne.
Amen.
Ain't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
There's no surprise to me that Satan would try to commandeer something so majestic. If there's no more burning bush, there's no more talking donkey, there's no more all these other signs and wonders, what's the only one that you could see with your visible naked eye? It's the rainbow. Because the others are by faith. Tonight, as Miss Macy comes and Brother Scott would come, I ask you tonight,